pork. And everything else is an expression of that. And it is the source. And it is here that we must come. We're not going to get there tonight, but we're going to get
as you can without getting there. But tonight, we're going to find out a little bit about how to get there.
Okay, we read about, one, an altar, and then I would add to it a laver. We have already seen the holy place, and then there is the Holy of Holies. Now then, how do we make our way to the ark, and how do we get in? Now you've seen all these other things. We've got to get into the source. That out of it might come the full tabernacle and the court, that the earth might see the expression. Brothers, after the full expression of the tabernacle, there's got to be a city of authority built around it. All of this depends upon the priesthood. Okay, the priest must first go to the outer altar. He is coming this morning to the tabernacle. His destination is the Ark of the Covenant. He comes as the priest to the outer altar, and here he offers up a sin offering. There he absolutely must offer up the bullock of the sin offering in order to go any further. Now then, for him that day, that is an offering to the Lord, that he himself might personally be saved from his sins. In other words, brothers, we have to get saved, okay? All right, how many of us have gotten this far? Let's raise our hand. Oh, okay, all right. Randall, you know, there are some things that we don't have to... All right, now he comes to the laver of judgment. The laver. Do you remember the laver? It's made out of brass. The brass laver that the sons of Korim used to offer strange fire on. And God judged them, and they took the brass and made it into a laver. It is a brazen altar, a washing place of judgment. Now, brothers, here is where the world is judged in us. And we cannot get any further than having dealt with the world. You will not get any further as a priest until the world is dealt with in you. That's the second step. Then, of course, you know, we come to many, many other things. Into the holy place. Now then, before we get to the altar and to the ark, let's talk about it a little bit. Brothers, the ark is what? What is the ark? The ark is a picture. Come on, just think about it. Here is the sword. It's like a little bit of atomic energy. And then outside the atomic energy is the case. And outside of that's a lot of mechanism. And outside of that is a sheet. And all of it together is an atomic bomb. Deep inside is the source of it all. All right? What is the ark? Well, all right. It is, what's it made? When you look at what it's made out of, you know. It is made, it is a wooden matter. It's made of wood that always stands for man. But it is overlaid with what? Gold, pure gold. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is man and God in there. Is that the ultimate source, brothers and sisters? No, it is not. Is there something inside of it? What is inside of it? What? You got the law. Who said that? I want to know who to write the A down for. Who is the first one to say the law? Oh, okay. It's the law. And the, all right, now if this ark symbolizes, is the significance of Christ, what is the law, the significance of? The Father God, the Ten Commandments, just show us that only God can attain such a place. And God gave the law to Moses and the people. He was just saying, here's divine law, live up to that. And the little lamb, you know, God knew our nature, and he just took a few thousand years just to teach a lesson. Here's divine law, live it. Little old man, I can do all that. Man just think he can do God. He can be all the things that God is. So he goes out to obey the Ten Commandments. Does he make it?
No, a human cannot live. Those humans could not live by divine life without having divine life. All right, and so they chased around trying to be what God is, and they couldn't quite make it. So here is a picture of God himself, the Father, inside the ark.
Now then, over the ark, when the lid is put in, over the ark is the seat of mercy. And now, we got to go all the way back to Genesis 3. Now, I may lose some of you here. I'm sorry. I really am. In the garden, there was divine life for man, right? Not Ten Commandments to live up to, but literally the Ten Commandments were a tree there, right? The divine life was a tree. That time, God didn't, when he gave himself to the children of Israel, he said, here, read all that, live up to it. He knew they couldn't make it, but he was going to teach them a lesson that the next time there was a tree of knowledge in front of them and a tree of life, they were going to run for one and run for the other one. So he just gave it to them there, live up to that.
But the first time, and of course man never made it, the first time man flunked, God put the tree of life in the garden and say, eat it.
Here is the life of the Father, eatable, obtainable, gettable. God's life put in man.
Did man take it?
No.
Instead, he said, oh, I'd rather, instead of eating it and enjoying it, I think I'll learn about it. He went over here to a seminary.
He ate of the tree of knowledge that he might learn all about God, and he really did. Okay, now then, here's the tree of life. And man is now
sinful, dirtied.
Man is now really a mess, right? He is really a mess. Does God dare have him eat that tree? Brothers, if he had eaten that tree that day, he would have lived forever the way he was.
Mike, frankly, would you like to have lived forever the way you were lost without Christ? I believe that could have been worse than hell, would it not? To live forever on this earth the way you were without Christ.
So, the Lord has to do something to keep man from getting to that line, right?
Touching that line. So God puts a cherub. Does it say cherub or cherubs?
A cherub? One cherubim. Okay. I never noticed.
He puts a cherubim there. And the cherubim has a sword of judgment.
You just try getting in there. The way to the tree of life is closed. There is no way now that man can eat it. It was physically there to be physically obtainable. Nobody will ever eat it again that way. The judgment of the cherubim is there.
I don't even know if I need to say anymore. Do you see the picture? Now then, deep inside the tabernacle is the ark.
And right over it are the cherubims, and they're just waiting for you to try to come and obtain that ark. You just can't get there, and don't you try. The cherubims, they are called the cherubims of glory. Now, why are they called the cherubims of glory? All right, let me define for you what glory is. Glory is God manifested. Anytime God manifests himself, that is glory. When God reveals himself, that is glory. John, if you read it carefully, shows us that Jesus Christ is the glory of God. And all have sinned and come short of what? Amen. All have sinned and come short of the revealedness of God. God manifested and revealed. And the Ten Commandments, just right up there, there they are. Look at them and read us. I've fallen short of God. I sure haven't come up to that. But now God expresses himself. And oh my God. I not only fell short of the Ten Commandments, I also fell short of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They reveal the glory of God. I have fallen short of Christ, too. Now here are the cherubims of glory. They are protecting. They are standing there preventing anybody from coming in. Are you already kind of scared? Huh? You know, woo. And the ark's in there. The glory of God is in there, which is Christ. And there are two cherubims there. All right, brothers, I have already said to you, we have to go to the altar. We have to go to the laver. And there's one other big obstacle before we can get in there. And what is it? According to the book of Hebrews, we even read it tonight. There is something that prevents us from getting in. The veil. And what is the veil? And the book of Hebrews tells us what the veil is. Huh? What? Sister, A+. Did the veil get rent into? When did it get rent into? And it just ripped apart, right? From top to bottom, all the way. He rent the veil into. Now then, he did it by his what? He did it by his what? By his flesh. By his flesh being broken.
What's inside, sir?
Amen. Say it loudly and boldly, brother. Amen. Deep inside of him is the Father. Really, I would say inside that flesh is the Christ. Would you not agree? You know, this isn't Gene Edwards. I'm really inside me. This is just a pot to put me in. This is my flesh. Inside of me is Gene Edwards. Praise the Lord, inside of Gene is the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, walking around on this earth was a flesh, a human flesh. And inside of it, you might say, was the personality of Christ. And in Christ was God the Father. All right, the first time such a situation ever occurred was with the tree. The tree was there. You could eat it and take it in, right? But now then, it has been utterly cut off and closed and held back by the cherubims, right? And the cherubims had a sword, Brothers, you might say that that veil there is that which keeps us from coming in. We cannot get in. Now then, when Christ's flesh is ripped open and divided, what comes out? The glory and the Spirit. Now then, the tree is made available again. Only this time it is not a tree with fruit on it.
It is the Spirit. The flesh has got to be ripped open.
Now then, brothers and sisters, that is true. But I want to turn around to you and say, in the same way, your self-life has to also be torn apart to get in there. It's got to go. It's got to go. The self-life. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I'm going to give you just a couple examples. One, there's the outward, you know. A contentious spirit. I'm just going to argue with Brother Mike here because we disagree about something. Now, Brother Dave here, Dave and I haven't said much to one another. Let me use Brother Dave. Brother Dave and I disagree on something, and I take my stand against Brother David. No, we argue. Someone said, and I appreciated it, and I passed it on to you, you tell me how much a brother argues, and I can tell you how much she's in the Spirit and how much she's in this, the manifestation of this self. So outwardly, brothers, just to pass to you, one thing is we have to keep losing and the other guy has to keep winning. We got to lose. The Lord's going to win. David, dear, go ahead. Take it all. I lose. You win. You don't even have to use a gun. Just take it. I don't care.
Okay, the Lord. Now, we have unity. All right. There was just this outward display. The outward thing. The outward. These pastels we were talking about this morning. Anger, wrath, arguing, contentious. Brothers, we have to turn away from these things.
They have to be torn apart. But I would like to say also within us, every one of us, there is an obstacle of boldness. There is an opposite of boldness within it. How do you come into the throne of God? There is only one way to get there, and that is, say it.
Boldly.
Do you realize that it is something of your self-nature that is not bold?
I have been watching Christians for years and just ordinary people and those who kind of hold back like this.
You know, we kind of always admire timid folks, don't we?
No, do you not admire timid people?
I do. They're never in trouble.
My dear sweet wife, bless her heart. We've been through so many storms, you just wouldn't believe how they started. In all my life, she never makes any. Someday I'll tell you a story about what happened to me in the first church I pastored. And it was pretty bad.
But this fella said to me one day, he said, Gene, he said, the only reason we're putting up with you is because they love your wife. So well.
Sister, I refuse to utter another word. I'll not say another thing about that. I'll tell you the whole story someday. I will just
and passing, don't ever pat faster. Don't ever bring that, Betty. It's really not worth it. It's a non-scriptural problem. Timid folks don't ever get in trouble. But I'm going to say this too. You rarely ever get into the Holy of Holies either. All of us have got to go in bold. Very bold. And there is something about your non-bold flesh, self-life, that has got to be torn apart. Or you'll spend the rest of your life floating around in the holy prayers. There has got to come that moment when you cast off your restraint, your fear, your timidity, your feeling of unworthiness. I think I know. And not that it matters that I know, the Lord knows, but I think I know what it means to be really bottled up inside. I'm an expressive person, but when I was a child, at a time in my family's life where I was left completely alone, throughout my entire teenage life, I lived alone. Hey, boy. Were mama left me? Your mama ever leave you? My daddy left me. How would you have felt? Would you have felt very loved? I don't feel very loved. Well, it had nothing to do with me. I mean, it, you know, but I read it that way. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Come around, right? For so long, just so inner. I felt unworthy. I felt unloved. We all feel that way. But some of us are, or we're real expressive like Brother David, or real quiet like Brother Mike. But inside, you know, all of us are sort of closed up toward God. We don't dare go boom. This has got to be dealt with in yourself. My brother, I want you to just look and see the what and the how. Boom. Look at the situation. Here is the cherubim up on the mercy seat. The cherubim of glory. And he's looking over the ark. And what does he see? As he looks down. Oh, he sees more than that.
No,
he didn't. Not yet. He sees the Father, the glory. He looks down and sees the Father. And you would dare come in and lay hold of him, of this. You would dare come into the presence of the very divine like of God the Father and lay hold of it. And the cherubim is standing there looking down at the Father. The cherubim of glory with his judgment, preventing anyone from coming to this. And he's also looking at the door, just daring you to try to get through the east door, BB. Would you dare go in? Just look at that curtain. It's so clovered.
What's on the other side?
Divine life. That's what's on the other side.
Dare I go in?
Now, brother, let me say this to you before I veer. There are some things I have to tend to. There's some things I have to tend to. All right, let us be at the business of attending to them. And then let us come.
There's only one way to get through that door, brothers, if boldly. But let me tell you something. How are you going to get past this cherubim? He's looking at the door. He's waiting for you to dare to come in. And he's looking at the Father. And you cannot possibly come up to the standard of honor. Oh, brothers, I only have to say one more thing to you. What did you get out there on that outer altar labor? What did you get there? You got... Amen. You got some blood. You got some blood at that altar. And then you pick up the blood. And you hold it up like this. And you begin walking toward the Holy of Holies. And brother, you hold tight to it. And you come up to that curtain and you just say, ready or not, here I go. And you go in, and the cherubim look, and all he can see is the blood. And you come to the altar, and you come to the mercy seat, and you pour the blood on it, and the cherubim looks down at the Lord God Almighty, and all he can see is the blood. And you can come boldly into the throne of God, to the mercy seat, because you have the blood of Jesus Christ covering you and it. Then, brother, get at it. Whatever is the opposite of your boldness, deal with it. And you tell it, listen, you inner captive imprisoned nature, I'll have nothing to do with all of your lies to me. I have the blood of Christ. I'm worthy to get into the Holy of Holies. And you take that blood on top of you, and you just take it and be covered by it. I've got. Don't plea it. You've got it. Take the blood over you and rush in. Boldly. If you have ever called on the name of the Lord Jesus and asked him to cleanse you and forgive you of your sin, you've got the blood of Christ over. And you have the boldness. Take it. You have the key. Take it. Brother, get into the Holy Uncle. Whatever is within you right now, holding you back from a real touch with divine nature deep inside of you. Oh, priest of God, will you realize that you have the blood upon you and it covers the mercy seat and the cherubim cannot see and you can come in and lay hold on the very nature of God. You can touch the innermost sanctuary of the whole universe. You've got to know. Don't you ever again be reluctant.
Click here for another message by Gene Edwards, filled with spiritual depth and revelation. And don't forget to subscribe and hit the bell to stay connected with new videos we release.